From NPR and WBUR Boston, it's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson, broadcasting today from WILL in my hometown of Urbana, Illinois.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty in Boston. And in a few minutes, we'll go to Brazil, where even if their team didn't make it to the finals, Brazilians are celebrating that nation's hosting of the World Cup.
But first, let's get to the situation in the Middle East and the mounting calls for a truce between Israel and Hamas-controlled Gaza a week after the start of a violent flare-up there that's considered the region's worst in almost 2 years. The military wing of Hamas claims it has sent a drone over Israel, which Israeli authorities today say they shot down. And all this is playing into the unrest across the region in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and in Syria. And for more on all of it, we're joined by Jim Walsh, an expert in international security at MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
Well, what is your sense, first of all, of where this is headed between Israel and the Palestinians?
Well, we've been here before, right, Jeremy? We've had a flare-up a couple of years ago and then another couple of years before that. But there's some things at work here that were not in place in the past. In the past, Egypt would be able to intervene and talk to both Hamas and Israel. Egypt is staying away from this one, and so we don't have the active mediation we've had in the past. And it's hard to see how this is going to end. I don't think Israel wants to go on the ground. It doesn't want to invade, but it can't sustain this back and forth forever because it's mobilized the local citizenry, mobilized the troops. So something's going to happen sooner rather than later.
And we're also dealing with a United States that is not all that eager for getting involved in conflicts, but also conflicts flaring up further. We went out onto the streets of Urbana, Illinois, where I am today, and asked some people what they thought about what's going on there. Let's take a listen to that.
If the two nations don't respect each other, then there probably won't be any progress until they understand each other's religions.
Even back in when I was young, in the 60s and 70s, I mean, there was the Six-Day War and all of that has been ongoing. I don't see a resolution.
You know, it's very difficult to see how a resolution of this is ever going to take place. The animosity is so deep and so long. It's a frustrating thing. I don't think we can influence it all that much.
That was Chuck Isaacs, Janice Page, and Adam Crawford in Urbana, Illinois. Jim Walsh, how does American public opinion play into the U.S. role in all of this?
Well, I think it does matter. You know, one of the fundamentals American presidents have learned from Vietnam forward is you can't embark on a big foreign policy unless you have the support of the American people. And I think those folks you interviewed, I might have framed it a little differently, but I think largely they're on target, right? There are some fundamentals here that the U.S. has no control over. Obviously, there are lots of reasons why we're in the fix we're in right now, things operating at different levels. But one of the fundamentals can be summed up in one word, occupation. As long as Israel imposes a military occupation on a population that doesn't want it there, you're going to have violence. And, you know, if the settlements are expanding, if Gaza is subjected to blockade, as it has been for a while, you know, then we're going to continue to have this flare up, you know, every couple of years, every third year. And unless you attack the fundamentals, there's not much the U.S. can do there.
Well, and given that Secretary of State John Kerry was one of the negotiators in the peace talks that fell apart in the last few months, does he have much of a voice now with the leadership there?
I don't think so. In fact, what you saw over the weekend was Secretary Kerry reaching out to the head of Qatar, the Middle Eastern nation, to act as an emissary. It's hard for Kerry to engage one of the principals here, Hamas, when the U.S. Congress has defined Hamas as a terrorist group.
Right.
So we really have to work through intermediaries who actually have some purchase or some relationship with the parties.
Now, Kerry is in Vienna today for international talks on Iran's nuclear program. How does that fit into this?
Well, I think it's separate, but certainly if we fail to get a resolution of this, and my own guess, if I was a betting man, would be we're going to get an extension. We're not going to get it done by Sunday. I hope we do, but certainly there'll be implications. Here's one. If these talks fail, if they collapse, we're looking at a really ugly situation that has implications for the region. And I don't mean we return to the status quo of November. If there's no agreement and it falls apart, you're going to see Iran dramatically expand their program. They're going to fire up centrifuges, make 20% enriched uranium, use advanced centrifuges they've never used before. The program will get darker. You know, we'll have less information, less inspections, less verification. And that puts us on a path to war that either Israel or the United States under those circumstances, the probability of military conflict goes up. So add that to the boiling pot of the Middle East.
Well, and you can also add that to what's happening in Iraq. And I'm sure that what's happening in Iraq, and again, today, no political solution there, is playing into the talks that Kerry is having on Iran.
It is. You know, for certain, the parties are having what are called, you know, bilateral side meetings. But the thing is that neither the U.S. nor Iran can really begin to broach these other topics, Afghanistan, Iraq, even Syria, unless they get the nuclear deal done first. That's what both parties say. So it's really imperative for a variety of reasons. Certainly the nuclear deal is important unto itself, but also for these other reasons that they make progress and that both sides compromise.
All right, Jim Walsh, expert in international security at MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.